Hey, good morning, Elevate City. So glad to be with you today via video. And we're excited about all that God is doing through this series for our city. I am actually in Defiance, Ohio this morning, preaching at Experience Church for Pastor Kyle and Justina Brownlee. But I wanted to make sure that before we have our big serve day coming up, I wanted to just speak a message that's on my heart to really challenge us to, I think, get us prepared for what God is going to do in this next weekend. But really what God has been saying to us over the last few weeks in this series. And so just want to remind you, coming up on Saturday, July the 14th at 9 a.m., we're going to meet right here at the church. And we'll have donuts. We'll have a lot of things available for you. And just to get you ready, get you some energy before we head out on the streets of our city. And at the end of service today, you're actually going to hear from our director of our outreach and Servolution with Dan Sparling. So just so thankful for all his leadership and all of just the serve team that have helped make this possible this coming Saturday. So again, just want to encourage you, if you've not signed up, if you're not a part of this weekend yet, there's plenty of time and you can jump in. And actually, we have the blue tent that'll be outside today that you can get signed up at, or you can ask any questions. And many of you have already signed up. But again, this is something as a church that we want to do to really bless our city and be the hands and feet of Christ as we go in and to impact a lot of lives on this weekend. And then we end with our Adopt-A-Block area that we always minister to at every month with a block party for them. And so we'll have inflatables, there's face painting, there's all kinds of stuff, food for you and your families. And then we're going to be really just kind of doing life with our community and the neighborhood that we always are at. And so I think it's going to be an incredible day together as the church, as we just continue to have the opportunity to express the love of Christ to others. So we're going to get in the message here. So if you want, grab your message notes, and we're going to just begin here in our first verse of scripture here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And again, this is a series that is honestly real easy for me to preach on, because this is really who we are. This is what we're all about here at Elevate City, and just continuing to reach the unchurched, awaken the restless of our city. And we just know that God has an amazing plan for us. So if you've missed any of this series, make sure you check it out. But it says this in Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." What's a witness? A witness is somebody that tells their story. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, Law and Order, or some of those shows that have the court scenes in it. You know, what they're doing is when they're called to the stand, they tell their story of what they've witnessed. So God has called us to do that. We're witnesses of his power. We're witnesses of his strength. We're witnesses of just the transformation that he's done in our life. So God says, "I want you to be my witnesses." So I want you to tell the story of what I've done in your life, and what I'm in his amazing love in Jerusalem, which represents Fort Wayne for you and me. Then it goes on to say, "And in all Judea and Samaria," which represents our nation, "and then into the ends of the earth." And so I just believe this, that you and I are never as close to the will of God for our life than when we are making a difference in the lives of other people. And honestly, that's what Serve Day is all about this Saturday, is just the opportunity that we have on a collective force of all of us as a church doing around 20 or so projects that's going to impact a ton of people for Christ. And so it's the projects themselves are important, but the people are more important than the projects. And so that's where we make the impact. So I would even encourage you, as you go into this weekend, don't get so caught up maybe on what you're doing as opposed to who you're impacting, because that's what's going to be the game changer for us. And we're just believing for God to move in such an incredible way. But I want to share this with you, because I think vision without action is really just meaningless. And so I'm going to give you a couple things that I think is important. And this really isn't in your notes, but I think it's worth probably writing down. But the first is just that vision without action is just a dream. It's merely a dream. That's all that it is. Some people have great vision, but if you don't have any action for that vision, then it really is just a dream, and that's it. But then action without vision is wasting time. I've met a lot of people in the world, man, that have some great action, but there's not a lot of clarity, man. There's not a lot of vision. There's not a lot of direction for what we're trying to accomplish. But vision with action can change your life. It can change the lives of other people. And I believe we're seeing that as a church every single weekend, having the opportunity to see people not only make decisions to come to Christ, but then making decisions that we're going to take next steps in our relationship with God. So I just know that there's nothing that's more exciting to me, and hopefully nothing more exciting to you, than really fulfilling and chasing after the call of God for our life. I want to read a couple verses out of James chapter 2, and I think this really describes what we are all about and what even this series is all about. And it says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, then what good is it?" Such a great verse. And then it goes on to say, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Think about that. "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.'" Now, if you're thinking about that or you're reading that verse, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, James says that faith without action is dead. But then when you think about what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, he says that we are saved by grace through faith. So Paul said that in other words, that it's not by our own effort, but it is by the grace of God. We are saved by grace through faith. And so the Bible is very clear that salvation is a free gift, something that you and I cannot earn. But today, what we're talking about specifically is taking action and then allowing our faith to not be dead, but our faith to come alive and to continue to rise up in God's plan and purpose for our lives. So I want to read on to, in a couple verses, same chapter here in James. In verse 19, it says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions," I like that, was working together. "And his faith was made complete by what he did." And so, in other words, faith creates works. Works perfect faith. I'm going to say that again because I think it's really important to understand what this looks like. Faith creates works, all right, because your faith should be alive in Christ. And those works that we do and what we're going to do this Saturday, man, really helps to perfect our faith. It's going to, I just believe as you are a part of whatever project you're doing this Saturday, it's going to only just increase your faith. It's going to encourage your faith and help to grow you spiritually. But also, as I talked about last week, I think some of us are going to experience some real personal healing by just reaching out and making a difference in the life of somebody else. And it goes on to just say this, that the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." I think it's pretty awesome to see and to know that, man, God calls us his friend. And so I believe Abraham was a perfect example of what we're talking about, of taking action in his pursuit, in his relationship with God, that he not only professed it, all right, but that God was the most important thing in his life, but he also proved it when God asked him to sacrifice his only son that he had. And so Abraham was in a place that he had his son Isaac, where he laid Isaac really on an altar and was in a place ready to kill him, ready to sacrifice him. I mean, that seems pretty radical and crazy. But obviously, God's plan wasn't for Isaac to die. God was testing the heart of Abraham, and it came to the place where he was ready when God intervened in the last minute and said, "No, I don't want you to do that." And again, Abraham was in a place where he was just sold out to the things of God. He wanted what God wanted. Abraham wasn't just interested in what he wanted and his will to be accomplished. He just made the decision, man, that whatever God wants from me and whatever God wants for me to do, I want to be a part of that. So I want to give you a few things that's in your notes that I think practically can really challenge us and really help us today. First off is this: faith without works is talk with no walk. And I love this statement because this is something I constantly challenge our church with, that we would never be a church. And we dreamed of a church of just being active, of a church being more known of what's happening Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. And I think what happens here on Sunday is powerful and it's important, but what happens through the week is critical as we just continue to grow in our faith. And I want to read this verse out of Matthew chapter 21. And this is a good story because this is a story about the parable of the two sons. And it says this: "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' And the son responding said, 'I will not,' but then later changed his mind. And then he went on." Kind of sounds like our kids sometimes. And it goes on to say, "Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. And so the question was asked, 'Which of the two did what his father wanted?' 'The first,' they answered." And so here's the point, really, of this scripture, is that the father is not interested in lip service. And our Father in heaven is not. The Bible also tells us that blessed are the doers of the word of God and not hearers only. So we need to realize that, man, God has called us to a place of action. God has called us. He's placed a calling and an assignment in our life that we have to step up and embrace for our life to go forward in. And so this scripture, I think, does a great job of just issuing the challenge to you and I that we are in a place that God is saying, "Hey, I've got something for you to do. Let's respond to it. Let's be obedient to what God is saying." Amen? And so I think it's important for us to grasp what God is saying to us and how he's challenging us. Helen Keller said this. She said, "I am only one, but still I am one." She said, "I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, listen to this." She said, "I will not refuse to do something that I can do." And I love that because God has placed something incredible in each and every person's life that's in this room today. Each and every one of us are great at something. Each and every one of us are a 10 at something. And I'm just challenging us, and I will forever always challenge you just as your pastor, to not just sit on whatever God has placed in your life, but there's more to the journey. There's more to your life, but you've just got to awaken to the understanding that God has a plan and to take the steps of faith and walk these things out. And so I want to encourage you to understand that. Faith without works, the second one is this, is belief with no relationship. Belief with no relationship. I love that when we read in the book of James, that James challenged the people who said, "I have faith, and others have works." He even noted the fact, I thought this was interesting, that even the demons believe in God. They know his name. They know who he is. But God wants so much more for you and me than to just believe that he's real. He wants an active relationship. Man, that God didn't save us for religion. He saved us to have a personal relationship. This has never been about religion. This has never been about even just joining a church. This is always and forever will be about first coming into a relationship with God. That's why God sent his only son to die for us, that we can have a personal relationship with him. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles.' And Jesus said, 'I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That may seem harsh, but here's what God is saying. God is saying, "I want more than anything in the world to know you." And what the point of that scripture and that verse was is, man, there was a people who knew about God but didn't know him. And he wants you and I he wants us to allow him to relate to us right where we're at, because he's the only one that can. He's the only one that can truly sympathize with all of our weaknesses. Here's what I know. The third thing is this: faith without works is faith with no action. Faith with no action. So there's far more there's far more to Christianity than just showing up to church on a Sunday. And so if you don't know that, I'm just telling you, man, there's so much more to this journey. And one of the things I love about what God is doing here is that it's not just about what's happening on Sundays for us. It's about small groups that are happening through the week. It's about outreaches that are taking place. It's about reaching people and connecting in new relationships and friendships. It's so important. And so there's a call, though, to live out. We've got to live out our relationship and to tell others. Even if you find yourself in an introverted place, God wants you and I to be able to live out our faith and to talk to others about it. And God will give us that opportunity. I'll talk to you more about that in just a minute, because we all are people of influence. Whether you want it or not, you have influence, all right? 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says this, for the kingdom of God, this is maybe one of my favorite verses, because I think this just is such an incredible catalyst for everything that we do as a church and want to accomplish, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it's a matter, but it's of power. And that's what we want as a church. We want to see the power of God demonstrated in us, through us, and to affect our city and the streets of our community for the glory of God. And so it's not just about talk, it's about power. Look at the person next to you and say, it's not just about talk, come on, tell them, but it's about power, come on. And so it's understanding that we are living for something that's beyond us and serving a God that desires to do the incredible through us. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28 says, never walk away from someone that deserves help. This is an important verse for us. And I love this next part, and you'll probably want to underline this, circle this. It goes on to say that your hand is God's hand for that person. I want you to think about every place that you go, from the place in which you work to the place where you maybe pump your gas, to the grocery store that you're at, to the restaurant that sometimes that maybe you frequently go to. And look at your life as a hand, just as it says here in Proverbs 3, that your hand is God's hand for that person. I love that verse. I love the part of what God issues that challenge to you and I. And I think it shows, man, the empowerment of our God and what God is capable and wanting to use and do through us. And it says, never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. I think one of the greatest ways, you know, that we prove our relationship with God is just by simply being obedient and walking these things out. It's why faith without works is dead. So we have such an important responsibility to steward what he's given us to do. It's again why I love our growth track. And, you know, today you'll have the opportunity to be a part of our growth track. Today's step two. And so if you've never been a part of this, you can be a part of it, whether you jump in today or you jump in next week, it's fine. It's at 11:15 on our Sundays. But again, it's helping people discover those gifts to live out the action part of our life. And for some, it's getting on the dream team. For some, it may be serving in a small group or serving in outreach in some capacity. But there's so much more to your life and to your story. And so I just know this. Let me kind of say it this way. I know for Bethany and I, you know, I can be married to my beautiful wife, and I could talk to her every day, tell her I love her, and even send her text. But if I never go home and I stay other places and I never wear my wedding ring and I never help with the kids and I never buy her flowers and I never do date nights with her, there's not a lot to prove that our marriage is real. Because I really do love my wife, I want to do all of those things. And it should be no different than our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we should express our love to him and for him by what we do. And so I think it's important that we understand that. And St. Francis said it best, and I love this statement, that go from here and preach the gospel, use words if you must. James chapter 2 says this. It says, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is also dead. And I thought this was so important, because this is, again, such a reminder for us that reaching our city will look different for different ones of us. And you can do your part by affecting those even closest to you. And I think that the way that we continue to impact Fort Wayne is going to be different. It may sometimes be through an outreach. It may be through an event called a serve day. But I tell you, one of the greatest ways that we can daily touch people's lives is influencing those who are closest to us every day. And I think we can get so caught up in events are important and what we're doing is important. So I don't want you to lose sight of the value of what we're doing, because we need to do these kinds of things, and people need help in their homes. And for those that are struggling and physically and all those things, man, we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. But one of the ways that you and I can continue, man, to steward our gifts and our impact is by taking, man, just responsibility. And part of that is a prayer responsibility, but also the responsibility of just loving those that are closest to us. And that, again, may be the person that sits next to you at the other cubicle. That may be a boss. It may be a friend. It may be a neighbor. It may be a family member that doesn't even know the Lord. But you have influence. Everybody say this with me. Say, I have influence. You do. And whether, again, like I said, you want it or not, you do. And part of being an ambassador for Jesus, Scripture talks about this, is knowing that everywhere you go, that you have to not just see things that come to you as accidents, but man, God will specifically put sometimes people in our path to impact and to just be a blessing too. And because sometimes people aren't even looking for it, but they need what you have. And for some people, you're the only Bible they may ever read. They may never actually get in it, but just by your example, you may be the only one they read. So it's so important. And for some of you even, you may feel led to go outside of that, though, and start a new ministry, start a new small groups. There's many we've seen in 2018, we've seen more new small groups start than we ever have in the history of our church. Why? Because I think there's a bunch of people that's realizing and stepping up into the area of faith because God is pressing needs upon their heart that they're seeing and that they're recognizing right here in our community. And so some of you are going to respond in that way too. So I just think, man, what a perfect example of the church. What a perfect example of the body of Christ, knowing that we can make that kind of difference, and it's going to look different. It's going to feel different because we're all different, and that's what makes the church the church. And so I think it's powerful. So we want to be a church of action. So I just want to end our next few minutes giving us just a few things that I think we need to remember that really calls us to a place of action, all right? Because this is important, and this is something I'm passionate about too. So first of all, number one, if you want to jot this down, that action stimulates accountability. Action stimulates accountability. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I love accountability and its importance. First of all, accountability places a healthy demand on you and I to grow. That's why we talk so much in our church about never doing life alone. We can never do this life by ourselves because we truly are stronger when we are together. And I want to just encourage you today to understand you need that in your life. I need that in my life. Accountability is critical for our growth. And that's why, you know, and you've probably heard me say this, that's why we need people in our lives that are not impressed by us, but that are honest with us. I don't need a bunch of bobbleheads in my life. I need people who are honest. I need people who are going to help me. And so I'm thankful for relationships that I have in my life that challenge me, relationships and pastors in my life that are not afraid to call me on the carpet on things, but then also to love me, man, to encourage me, to believe in me as well. And so I think sometimes we just see accountability as, you know, something that comes in place when we do something wrong, but that's a wrong view of accountability. Accountability is also encouraging you in this journey to keep on going. Sometimes we just need to also be encouraged to know that, man, you're doing a great job. And I don't know about you, but just having people believe in me helps to encourage me to know that we're going to continue on in this race. Man, God's working, God's moving. You need those people in your life. You need those people that love Jesus as much of you, as you do, standing with you, and it's going to be incredibly important. Proverbs 12:26 says this, that the righteous, all right, if you're in a relationship with God, that word righteous means to just be in right standing with God. choose their friends carefully. Choose their friends carefully. And here's what I know, that we are going to meet people by chance, but we deepen our friendships by choice. All right? So the righteous choose their friends carefully, and the way of the wicked leads them astray. You may have heard this saying before, but I think it rings of incredible importance that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Your relationships and who is in your life, man, have the ability to really just impact you right where you're at. You need people that love Jesus. You need people that are going to encourage you in this race. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:33 also says this, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And I think you probably have an idea maybe what bad company is, but you cannot allow influences to take you away from God's will. Man, I've been in ministry a long time, gang, and one of the things that I have seen that has taken people out of the race is people of influence that are saying things, that are doing things, and just I watch people just be taken away from God's will because they're listening to wrong voices. I plead with you, man, you've got to stay close to God, and it's critical to have right relationships in your life, right voices. You know, I think it was a couple months ago I talked about this very subject and right voices in your life, because you've got to know how to discern those voices. But, you know, you can tell a lot about a friend by what they're for and what they're against. And do they spend their time talking about more of what they're for, or do they spend most of their time talking about what they're against or who they're against? Because I don't know about you, but man, I don't have time for the negativity. There's enough junk out there in the world, and I want to be around people that are full of life. I need people that are going to push me forward. And so, again, these are things that you need to be thinking about. And if you follow Christ, you need friends that love and are sold out to Jesus. You need people, again, that are going to be honest with you. I know this, and I feel like I've seen this in my own personal journey with God, that when your core, and I'm talking about, and I don't want to be passive with this, I want you to grab a hold of what I'm getting ready to say here, that when your core is following Jesus, like I'm not living for anybody else, for anything else, I'm living for Jesus Christ. That's my core. When somebody asks me what I'm about, man, I'm about Jesus. I'm about wanting to be an agent of change and fulfilling God's plan for my life. When your core is following Christ, your spiritual roots grow very deep. And that's where, as you make a decision, and I've spent some time just over the last few months with some different ones, and that's been my encouragement to them, is your core and who you are has got to be everything about God. Less of you and more of Him. And as you do that, and as you get around life-giving environments and small groups and people, those spiritual roots are going to grow deeper. And when your roots grow deeper, your reach goes broader, it goes wider. And I just believe there's something within each and every one of us that wants to make an impact. And there's people that I truly believe right now that every single one of us know that needs God to move in their life in some capacity. And how about it not be somebody else that God uses? How about it be you? How about you being the one that steps into the place, maybe stepping into the gap and being used by God? So, in other words, when you're surrounded by right people, you can go into a dark world and let your light shine, all right? And let it shine brighter. But here's the catch. If your core and who you are, all right, is not made up, with right people, and you got a bunch of jokers in your life, and you got wrong voices coming to you, your roots, listen to me, are not deep enough for your reach to be broad. All right? I hope that makes sense to you. And so that's why sometimes you'll see people go into the world and get their spiritual butt whooped. I mean, get it kicked. Because they don't have the strength to be who God has called them to be yet, because their core is not strong. All right, so remember, core strong. Everybody say this, core strong, roots deep, reach wide. Come on, one more time. Everybody say it with me. Core strong, roots deep, and your reach will go wide. Jesus was the perfect example of what I'm talking about. Jesus, now think about this, he loved everybody. Loved everyone the same unconditionally. But, listen to this, he didn't treat everyone equally. Now, that messed with some of your guys' theology probably right there. Because you're like, say, what? So, let me say it again. He loved everyone unconditionally, but he didn't treat everyone equally. Here's what I mean by that. Jesus chose 12 disciples to come follow him. But he spent, if you read your Bibles, you're going to find this, he spent most of his time with three of them. He had 12, but he spent most of his time with three. And he loved them equally, but he didn't treat them equally. He loved the Pharisees. They were the religious ones. I talked a little bit about that last week. But he also kept them at his arm's distance because of just their noise and their chaos always with them. So here's what I'm saying. You can't live the right life with the wrong friends. That's why, again, relationships are something that I believe you and I have to get right. And they're so important for the longevity of our future and our destiny. And if your friends, listen to me, are robbing banks and they're high-ranking officials in organized crime, cooking meth in their kitchen and selling it to sixth graders, listen, it's probably time for some new friends, all right? And probably not the case for most people in here today, but friends don't let friends walk away from God. Friends don't let friends just walk away from God and walk away from church. Real friends reach back out, love them. Again, that's why as our church grows larger, we've got to continue to grow smaller as well. And the smaller part is through our small groups. That's why you need a place where everybody knows your name. And being in a small group and people knowing your name. Because if you're not in church for a few weeks, being in a small group, I'm telling you right now, man, that small group's going to love you enough to call and say, man, how are you? What's going on? Man, can we talk? Let's grab a coffee. And it happens all the time in our church, and I love that about our church. But Elevate City can be a lonely place if you just come here on Sunday and that's it. That's why I tell people, man, true life and discipleship is what's taking place through the week at Elevate City Church. When you make the decision, man, I'm going to be a part of a group. I'm going to be a part of a small group. And even though we're ending our summer semester, some of us need to really consider jumping in the fall semester at the end of August and taking this journey through the fall. It'll change your life. I promise you, it'll change your life. But here's what I know as well. Some of you may even be in a place, and I'm just kind of wrapping up this thought, where you have negative friends. Maybe you've even noticed that you're becoming that. Some, maybe, of those relationships are tempting you to do things that aren't honoring God. Some may be introducing you to values that are opposed to the values of God. And I'm just telling you, as your pastor, just want to help you. And just, my name is Kyle Mills, and I just trying to be your friend, all right? And I want to say this to you, that if those things are happening in your life and you're finding yourself distancing from God and people, you need to hear the voice of God. There's a red flag flying today, and you may need to redefine some relationships because it's critical. You got to get it right. Here's the second thing. Action encourages responsibility. This is so good. Ephesians 5, it says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most. This is what we want to do this Saturday at Serve Day. Man, we want to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And one of the things for me, I learned what it meant. I learned what it means to take that responsibility for influencing others. Wherever we are, work, home, or friends, we're always being watched. And I just realized everywhere that we go, we have an incredible responsibility. And I never want to make another brother fall, another sister fall. So I always think about influence when I'm out in public, when I'm at home in private. It's important to me because, honestly, your character is revealed in private. And ultimately, what's happening in private ends up coming out anyways. And so I just think this is such an important characteristic that we have to make sure as believers. And I got a little bit on my soapbox last week, at service. But it's because I'm passionate. And for our church, we want to see people raised up with the love of God and loving people with a passion and doing it Christ's way and not just a religious way. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? And so we need to understand that God has called us to take responsibility. And like it or not, as I've said, you all have influence. We need to take that responsibility And as Scripture says, make the most of every opportunity that we have. And that's why one of the reasons why I love this church as well, because there are very few places that I think that provide as many opportunities to get in the game as Elevate City Church does. I mean, Dream Team, it's happening every week. Selflessly, people, and we're getting ready to probably head into talk to our team, so I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a news flash in September, heading back into three services. Why? Because we're expecting an influx of people like never before this fall. There's some things that we're going to continue to do to reach more people, and so we want to be found ready. I don't want to just, listen, I want God to be able to look at Elevate City Church and see that the workers are ready for the harvest that he's trying to get to us. Are you with me? And so that's why God is calling every one of us. The Bible says the harvest is white, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends laborers into the field. It's not a harvest problem, it's a laborer problem. In other words, we need workers. God is saying, I need more workers and laborers to rise up in their place and call. And as we do that, God is saying, I can trust you with more. I can send more people to you. I can trust that they're going to get discipled. I can trust you, Elevate City, that you're going to continue to love them right where they're at. And so here's what I know. The next half of this year, for some of us, this is going to be a critical second half of this year for you, because you're going to make some decisions. I just believe this with everything within me. That's going to bring you out of the comfort zone, all right, and bring you into the place that God has for you. And comfort zones aren't really safe places. You know, a lot of people think about comfort zones. Well, they just kind of keep me safe. And no, here's what comfort zones do. They keep your world small. And they keep you very minimal in your impact. And so I'm just telling you, dream big, Elevate City. Let's dream about what's next. Let's dream about downtown. Let's dream about Northwest and see what God can continue to do in this city, in us, and through us. Come on, somebody shout a good amen today. And so this is a statement that's always been on my heart that is very important to me, and that is this, that we're not using people to grow the church, but using the church to grow people. That's our responsibility, that people trump policies. That even on Sundays, we tell our staff, we tell our leaders, man, people matter. Every person that walks through this door, yeah, I want you to know, every person that's watching this, you matter to God and you matter to us, and we're glad that you're here. And I want you to know, with everything within us, man, we're real about that. We're very sincere about that. Here's the third thing. I got to move quick. As action cultivates longevity. Oh, man, this helps so much to keep us in the race for the long haul. 2 Timothy says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Doing things for God sets us up for finishing the race well. And before I got in the game and started doing things for him, my life really resembled Cedar Point kind of roller coasters, up and down kind of way. But taking action and being a man or woman of consistent action with God really does, listen to me, brings consistency in my walk with God. Some of us have struggled with consistency in our life. It's because we're not really living out purpose. We dabble in doing purposeful things at times, but there's not a consistency to it. And I think we're in an hour and we're in a time where God is calling us to a place of our core being strong. Come on, somebody. And that we are in a place that we choose to live a life of consistency before God. Whether it's raining out, whether it's sunny out, man, my core and everything that I am believes in God. And I'm going to live for him. And I'm going to make sure that I'm doing what he wants me to do. And then here's the final thing I want to give you this morning, is that action expands possibility. Some people will never experience the best of God and his blessings because they're afraid to take a step. And I just want to say, man, we as a church are not going to be afraid to take a step. Even if we trip, even if we mess up, guess what? God's grace will always be there to catch us. And I would rather us take big risks than always thinking about taking big risks. I'm telling you, man, God is so much bigger, and he wants us to believe big. And I just believe when we are not praying big prayers and believing big things, it's insulting to God. God is too big for us not to have, man, just these crazy, audacious prayers that we are believing. Yeah, for some people, when I say things like, man, we're going to reach tens of thousands, for some people, they may laugh that off. I'm not laughing. because I know and I believe in what our God can do through us. And I want to be a part of the answer in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I don't want to talk about it till I'm 65. Man, I want to see it today. I want to see things happening today. And so here's what I know. Daily, weekly, monthly, as we are making decisions to allow our closeness to become closer and closer to God, but also to allow actions to be according to our faith as well, man, we're going to see that action expand possibility. Ephesians 3 says, now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. The possibilities for your life are endless. Nothing better, there's nothing better that we could ever do than to give our life completely over to Jesus. Remember, I said this at the beginning of the message, vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision is wasting time. But vision with action can change the world. And I want to leave us with this last verse, and I'm going to pray. Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God. Come on, is there anybody in the house today that says, man, I know who my God is. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. I love that verse because that's our prayer for who we will always be here at Elevate City Church. Come on, just bow your heads right where you're at and let me just pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for, again, just the power of your love. We thank you for just who you are. And God, we thank you for this opportunity. You said, Lord, to take the most of every opportunity. And so, God, this weekend we have an amazing one. Lord, there's over 800 churches that are serving their cities across America this weekend and this Saturday specifically. And so, God, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for divine appointments, God, for every project that our teams go to. We thank you for divine appointments at our Adopt-A-Block, God, for where the block party is going to be, that, man, hearts are going to be just impacted and people are going to be loved and we're going to have a great time, Lord. And I just thank you, though, today, though, that, Lord, that for some of us, maybe we haven't taken those next steps. I pray that you give us now the courage, the boldness, God, to not just talk about it, but put some action to our steps. And so, Father, let the faith of God and let the action of what you've called us to do rise up within us, rise up within this church like never before, that we be the church, God, who you need us to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And so, Father, on northwest part of this city, all throughout this city, God, we want to be used by you. And so, Holy Spirit, speak to every person right now. Challenge us, encourage us, God. And I just thank you, God, for who you are. And I thank you for just the life of God, the blessing of God to flow within us. And God, let us not take this message any other way except for you wanting to call us higher. Because you have an incredible plan and you do have a purpose for us. And so, God, we want to be found faithful. We don't want our faith to be dead. We want our faith to be alive in Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, here's what I want you to do in just a moment. Come on, with every head bowed, all eyes closed, nobody moving around for this moment, if you would, please. This is an important part because maybe you've heard this message and you're totally new at this God thing and trying to discover this. And I want to encourage you, your first step is just knowing him personally. And there's not a formula, there's not a thing. The easiest thing I can tell you is just believing in your heart today. But the Bible talks to us about believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And so in just a minute, we're all going to pray a prayer together. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, or if you're here today and you had a relationship with God and for whatever way, maybe you found that you've drifted away, but today you're realizing, man, I need to make Christ important and a priority again in my life. All over this room with every head bowed, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand right where you're at, right where you're at, and then you can put it right back down. Come on, one, two, three, real high, real high, real high. And you're just saying, and that's not us singling you out, just say, man, I want to pray that prayer with you today, Kyle. Amen. Amen. And so here's what I want us to do next is we're going to pray a prayer together and just believe this within your heart. And as you say this by faith, man, you will be saved. So just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. My life belongs to you. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Make me the person that you want me to be and give me the power to change. In Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Amen. Amen.